The pride, passion, and pageantry of college football lives here. This is the Paul Feinbaum Show, Hour 2 Podcast.
We have made it to the second hour, and we're glad that you have come along for the ride. More guests to come. Philip Stutch joining us shortly. We'll get the latest on the NIL, and there is some news on that from around the South today. Let's get back to the calls right now, and Pat is up next. Hey, Pat.
Hey, Paul. Thanks for taking the call. I was listening to Rick Neuheisel yesterday on Full Ride, and I think he's a pretty good guy. He's kind of given up on expanding the college playoffs. He suggested a round robin in with the top Power Five teams, a lot like they have in basketball, where in the middle of the season, or they have like the ACC playing the Big Ten, and I think the SEC plays the Pac-12. And get rid of two of the Powder Puff games, and then that leaves one Powder Puff team. And he's justifying that on the fact that the fans don't want to see a Powder Puff game, but I don't think that's right. It's a good idea, but I don't think there's going to be a lot of traction for that.
Well, Pat, I know Rick well, and he's a smart guy, and he's on a radio show trying to be creative, but nothing that he said is realistic. And it isn't realistic for a simple reason, that there are television contracts that are already signed beginning in a couple of years that will go for many, many more years. And they're predicated on a current schedule, or perhaps even an expanded schedule. Pat, you understand this. You've been in business. College football is as much entertainment for the fans in the stands as it is property for the television networks. And you just can't go in once you have already agreed on something and blow it up. And every game has a value, whether it's at Alabama and Georgia in Tuscaloosa, or Alabama and Mercer in Tuscaloosa, so, or Georgia at Clemson in Charlotte. So you just, the games are just part and parcel to the bigger prize, which is a $1 billion contract.
Oh, absolutely. I agree with you. And I said, I didn't think it was going to get much traction. I mean, Georgia needs to win all of its SEC games to get to the conference championship at the end of the year. And Powder Puff games are good practice games. And you give, you know, $700,000-$900,000 to a athletic
department. Also make money off those games. And because if you're paying $1 million, $1.5 million, or $2 million, whatever the number is, you're getting the rest. And, you know, with a full stadium and television. And one other thing, you see it in every sport. You saw it in the NBA a couple of years ago. You saw it in the NFL more than a couple of years ago. Then you saw the NBA about 5 years ago sign a new deal. Then you just saw the NFL sign a new deal. You saw the SEC sign a new deal. It got maybe got a little overshadowed because we were in the middle of COVID. But these deals are worth so much money. And on top of that, you have this network here that people are watching the show on that feeds an enormous amount of dollars and revenues to every school. So it's very difficult. Right now, the biggest issue, I think, facing the SEC, and I'm not talking about NIL or other things like that, is whether to add an additional conference game or rearrange the divisions. And we've been talking about this issue for 2 or 3 years. So can you imagine how long it would take to do what Rick is suggesting?
No, absolutely. And I'm, for one, would like to add one conference game to the SEC. On another note, there's been a lot of chat in the last week about, you know, what if Clemson loses to Georgia? And I guess that's because it's April 20th and you know, they looking for things to talk about because football's not going to start until Labor Day weekend or about then. But I'm still not convinced. I'd love Georgia to beat Clemson, but I think Clemson's going to beat Georgia, and then Georgia's going to have to run the tables. to be in the conference playoffs.
Well, Pat, I think you're mostly right. And if, for example, Georgia loses to Clemson, then they have to come up with another game to lose that isn't Florida, because that would put them in trouble. So, I mean, I'm trying to think of a game. I'm not sure they can get away with it, because I'm not sure Oklahoma's going to lose, and then you start getting into the Alabama Georgia conundrum. So, I mean, it's possible Georgia could lose another game and then beat Alabama or LSU or Texas A&M and still get there, but they would be playing with fire.
Oh, absolutely. And I would like for us to beat Clemson, but I will still say we could lose to Clemson, run the tables, win the SEC championship, whoever we play. And I think we should, if we're not number four,
absolutely.
Maybe we'll be five or six.
Well, and Pat, Heather Dinich said it about an hour ago that game is far more important to Clemson, because if Clemson loses that game, they are not guaranteed of even running the table. That, you know, beating anyone in the ACC championship game will not guarantee them a ticket. It they'll be in good shape, but you can't predict the entire season in April. Hey, thanks for the call. Appreciate it. Let's check out Ronald, who is up next in Tennessee. Hey, Ronald.
How you doing, Paul?
We're doing well. Thank you.
I just called. I'm a Tennessee Volunteer fan. I'm 80 years old. I've been a fan for 70 years. And I've seen the greatest games, and I've seen the worst ones. And I hope we get back good anyway. But I quit going to the games because I can't climb up and down them steps. So I'm glad to talk to you, Paul.
Well, Ronald, you take care of yourself. You stay healthy. And I have a feeling that if you can continue good health, you're going to see better days ahead on old Rocky Top. Let's take a break. More to come. Busy afternoon on the program. More of your phone calls at 855-242-7285. And Philip Stutz will be joining us next. I think you'll enjoy that conversation. There he is. He's live and ready to go. Nothing else going on today, so we have Philip's entire attention.
You're listening to the Paul Feinbaum Show podcast.
Hey, welcome back. It's always great to welcome in our next guest, Philip Stutz. We've had so many conversations with Philip about the NIL. Maybe the first conversation we ever had was with him. And we will talk about that in a minute, because there is a lot going on there. But first, I want to congratulate Philip on yet another book. He's had a number of bestsellers, and his latest is out today, The Undefeated Marketing System. This How to Grow Your Business and Build Your Audience Using the Secret Formula That Elects Presidents. A lot of people, I can think of one or two people that may be watching trying to get some tips. Philip, great to have you on, and congratulations, and tell us about putting this book together.
Well, I appreciate you having me on. And, you know, I've been working in sort of the business background in politics for 25 years, as you know. And ultimately, I discovered a systematic approach to winning political campaigns. And so I really wrote a book. It's kind of a modern day historical look at how political campaigns are run. So if you like to know how inside baseball political campaigns are run, this book is definitely for you. And then I said, man, I wonder if we could utilize these same strategies to help build businesses. And when I started putting this formula together over the last few years and working with clients, I realized this formula works ubiquitously in a lot of different industries, including the sports industry. And so this five-step, what I call the Undefeated Marketing System, is literally how sports teams win championships. It's how political campaigns win those races, including presidential races. And now we are introducing this systematic approach to businesses.
Well, the two are intertwined, and you and I have come together really in the spirit of both politics and sports. And I will be speaking at a school here, if you don't mind. But a couple of years ago, Philip and another friend invited me to come to Washington to speak to a group of, I don't even know how to describe
SEC
this group,
Philip.
How would you describe it?
Rabid SEC fans that live in Washington, D.C.
And, I mean, it wasn't just like, you know, your garden variety. I mean, former governors, senators. I mean, it was a pretty well-heeled group. But that was not the purpose of my story, though. I flew in, and the first stop was the White House on a Sunday afternoon. And we were walking through the West Wing, and there was nobody there. The president was out playing golf. So, we were just having fun because a mutual friend of, I think it was an Alabama guy, wasn't he, Philip? He was giving us the tour. And
that's right.
We were probably talking too much out of school to be literally right outside the Oval Office, considering the times. And all of a sudden, a Secret Service man jumped in front of us. I think he was at the Oval Office, Philip, correct? And he looked at me and he said, "Hottie toddy." And we just cracked up because we knew we had been busted at 1600 Pennsylvania Avenue, 1 foot in the Oval Office. And the man guarding one of the most sacred rooms in the world was an Ole Miss man.
We were right outside the West Wing, and you whispered in my ear, "Do you think we're going to get kicked out?" And I said, "I think there's a 50-50 chance."
We went places we should have never gone, and we'll never go again after telling that story. Well, back to the book. I didn't mean to interrupt it for a backstage at the West Wing. But it is so without divulging secrets of the book, Give us a clue on how this works.
Swimsuit? Check. Sunscreen? Check. Phone charger? Check. Don't forget to pack the 5-Hour Energy. It fits great in a pocket or carry-on, and the alert feeling will help you arrive ready for anything. Now get 20% off when you use code 5HETRAVEL at 5HOURENERGY.com. Expires April 30th. One-time use only. Not valid with other discounts. Remember, visit 5HOURENERGY.com and use code 5HETRAVEL to save 20%. Is your schedule too packed to see a doctor about your erectile dysfunction? Well, with Hims, now you can get treated for ED without stepping foot outside your door. They're changing men's healthcare by providing access to affordable sexual health treatments from the comfort of your couch. Hims provides access to doctor-trusted ED treatment options such as chewable hard mints, brand-name treatments like Viagra, or generic alternatives for up to 95% cheaper. The process is simple and entirely online. Just answer a series of questions and a medical provider will determine the right treatment option. If prescribed, your medication ships to you free. No insurance needed. So what are you waiting for? Join the hundreds of thousands of trusted Hims subscribers and get treated. Start your free online visit today at Hims.com/Paul. That's Hims.com/Paul for your personalized ED treatment options. Hims.com/Paul. Hard mints are chewable compounded products which are not approved by or verified for safety or effectiveness by the FDA. Prescriptions require an online consultation with a healthcare provider who will determine if appropriate. Restrictions apply. See website for details and important safety information. Subscription required. Price varies on product and subscription plan.
Yeah, you know what I'll do is I'm happy to tell you what it is, and I'll make it quick, but I'll show you how it works in politics, and I'm going to translate it over into sports because I think your listeners, I'm going to have a sports intent on this show. And I think your listeners would find it super interesting, especially if they're business owners. And by the way, for anybody listening right now, just because you're a friend of Paul's, we've reduced the price of the book to 99 cents for the next 24 hours. So it is available on Amazon for 99 cents for anybody listening right now. But here's what we do. In politics, the first step of this particular system is we got to figure out what the voters think. And we want to make sure that we find out the issues that they care about to such a big extent that they're going to, they want to vote for that particular candidate. The candidate can't be out there advocating positions that the voters don't care about. And so we have to find an alignment, sort of where the voters and the politician come together. And in sports, I always say the week after the game, if Alabama is going to play like Tennessee the next week and they just played Georgia, the first thing they're going to do is look at game tape. They're going to figure out their tendencies. They're going to figure out what they need to do. They're going to look at the data. Just like in politics, we look at voter data to understand how to communicate better to voters. And then the second step for us in politics is we build a game plan. And in sports, it's the same thing. After the game is over from the previous week, you put together a game plan for the next week's game, right? And so the third step for us in politics is now that you know what the voters think, now that you have a game plan, you start building the brand. And the brand is your website or the videos you put up. And in sports, it would look like this. The owners of the stadium or the university of the stadium cleans up the stadium. They get the concessions ready for the next game. They wash the jerseys. They get the brand right, right? And then the fourth step in politics is now we're going to go test all the messages we found that the voters care about. And we're going to try to figure out which ones resonate to such an extent that it'll elect that politician. And in sports, the fourth step is what, you know, it's the testing phase. But in sports, it's you practice all week long. You practice the game plan. You practice the plays and you figure out what's going to work and what doesn't. And the last step is now that you know what's going to work in the political sphere, you go out and you launch the fifth step. You launch your political marketing campaign that wins every single time for every single political race. The only problem is our competitors are using the exact same formula. And in sports, it's the same thing. After you practice all week, you launch, you play the game. And all the reason that sports and politics are some of the most innovative marketplaces in the world is because they're utilizing this five-step system. And what I decided to do is I'm going to introduce this to the business world. And so in this book, this is not a textbook. This is a book that is filled with a ton of inside political stories, corporate marketing stories. If you want to know how the corporate marketing world is changing rapidly, this is a very interesting book where I lay out just a ton of stories and teach the lessons through stories.
Philip Stutz, the Undefeated Marketing System. I know a lot of our viewers and listeners are going to grab that 99. I mean, Philip, where do you get a book for 99 cents?
And it's 25 years of my work and 3 years of me writing the book. So just for the next 24 hours, and then we're cutting it off and it goes to full price after that.
I wish I had thought of that when I had a book tour years ago. I might have actually been successful.
Philip, I think you made the New York Times bestseller list.
Okay. And it's my claim to fame in the world of literary snobs. So Philip, let me ask you this. NIL is really coming into focus. I read something that Alabama is doing something on it today. Everyone seems to be finally coming together, like you predicted. I'll never forget. We did a show, I think, in February of 20, before the pandemic erupted in New York. It was the last time I saw you, maybe the last time I saw anyone, and and here we are. This is the summer you've been talking about.
Well, everything comes down to July 1, 2021, and right now you have every state that is trying to implement their own bills. Alabama is passing a bill right now. I think it's on the governor's desk. Mississippi passed the bill. All these have this July 1 deadline. The federal government has two bills in place, and then Congressman, one of the leaders in the NIL in Congress, Anthony Gonzalez, is about to introduce another bill, a bipartisan bill. And the NCAA has punted and punted and punted, and now they're waiting on the Supreme Court to make this is the NCAA versus Alston case, and so they're all waiting. And so you have this titanic. Or this tectonic shift, this earthquake that is all coming into focus. And what's crazy is if the federal government doesn't pass a bill very quickly, which I thought for sure when we last talked that this would happen quickly, it hasn't. That means every state's going to have a different way of looking at the NIL, and some states are going to have advantages over other states, and that's going to be a recruiting advantage. And we already saw Florida State came out last week, and announced some kind of apex program where they were going to put NIL and use it to recruit athletes. I'm sure Alabama is going to do this, as they're on the forefront of all of this, but it is about to be the Wild Wild West. There is about to be money everywhere for these students, and not just men's basketball and men's football. It's going to deeply impact in a positive way women's college basketball and women college athletes. And so across the board, athletes are finally going to be paid for their name, image, and likeness. How it shakes out over the next 2 years is anybody's guess at this point, because the Supreme Court has to decide, the NCAA has to figure something out, all these different states have different bills, and it's a total mess right now.
Philip, what's going to happen, though, on July 1st? I mean, is it, will it be different everywhere, or will Congress make it universal, or will there be legal action? I mean, what's your, I mean, I realize you don't know, but what's your best guess?
I think I think Congress and the NCAA are waiting on this NCAA case to come down from the Supreme Court, which would be in a couple of weeks. But as you know, Congress has never passed a bill quickly unless we're in wartime. And so what I simply don't see how a bill gets passed in the next 8, 9, 10 weeks. It just has never happened on just a random legislative issue. And so if that is the case, then each state is going to have their own set of rules. And now the NCAA could file a lawsuit in each of these states and try to block them from implementing it. So the state of Alabama could have an NIL bill that affects Auburn and Alabama, but Florida has a different NIL bill that affects the University of Florida, Florida State, Miami, and all the other universities. And it, when I say that, is that athletes could make more money in one state than they could another. And so you could see this playing out until the fall, until the feds get involved and they put in one standard, the NCAA agrees to it, and then we have one rule that affects all of college football. But I don't know how that happens in the next 10 weeks unless something miraculous happens.
Yeah, and on the Supreme Court, it won't go any later than the final week of June, which doesn't help anyone. You can't. Right.
Yeah, and the NCAA has literally punted. Every time they've been given a chance to figure this thing out, they've punted it. And I mean, I read some of the transcripts from their case in front of the Supreme Court, and you'd be shocked by how much the Supreme Court went after the NCAA. Now, you can take that one way or you can take it the other. Maybe they're playing devil's advocate, or maybe they're advocating a position. But either way, it was a very embarrassing day in front of the Supreme Court for the NCAA.
Just another day that ends in Y for the NCAA. Philip, great to have you here. Congratulations on the book. And we will continue this conversation throughout the spring and summer. Be well.
Thank you.
You got it. Philip Stutz joining us on his new book. We will take a break. A lot to do the rest of the way, and we are coming back with much, much more.
You're listening to the Paul Feinbaum Show podcast.
We welcome you back. Great to have all of you here on a Tuesday afternoon. We'll talk about the Gators in the next hour with Alan Taylor, and then the final hour, Bill Conley from ESPN. Right now, back to your phone calls at 855-242-7285. And Kevin is up next in Florida. Hello, Kevin. Thanks. Good afternoon.
And good afternoon. I'd like to say I enjoy your show.
Thank you.
As much as I can catch it in between work.
Sure.
I just have a couple of questions I wanted to get your expertise on, because I know you're a little bit better than I am at it. Number one, with going on what the gentleman was saying about Power Five, is there any possibility in your mind that you could think of maybe going to something like a top 25 that would stop everybody from complaining about their team not getting in, or would it cause more chaos that way? And which I know it would extend the playoff season or whatever, but who doesn't love college football? You know,
Kevin, here's what people have to think about, and this is a broad view, but the college football playoff is made up of primarily the Power Five the Power Five conferences. We all know who they are. And then some feed-ins from Notre Dame and others. So to get where I think you and I would like to get, and there's been a lot of talk about the Super League, which is a takeoff of European soccer, which they're having difficulty with that anyway right now, it is virtually impossible to make happen, because every conference is its own entity. Every conference has its, its commissioner and has bylaws. And most important, it has a media agreement with differing companies. So for everyone to get on the same page, that's why people will say, well, how can college basketball do it? Well, the Power Five in college football are part of the NCAA in college basketball. So you have this $1 billion tournament every March, which we just got through watching. That is not the case in football. The NCAA has minimal jurisdiction over college football. It's in charge of bylaws. It's in charge of bowl accrediting bowl games, but it has virtually nothing to do with the college football playoff.
I mean, that makes a little more sense than, because I can sit here and people can sit around and think the same thing, but not knowing the ins and outs of it. That's why I was asking you, because I figured you would know better than I would. So, I do appreciate that insight there. But the other question I had real quick was as far as the drafts. I mean, I know that you have prospects that come in and value these players, evaluate, and all that, but to keep the chaos down, that do you think that it just causes more mind-blowing things for these players to know that they may be getting drafted and not concentrating on their bowl games?
Kevin, that's a real problem, and I've heard coaches complain bitterly about the distraction, and that's why you try to keep everyone away. But once the regular season and the championship games end, you've seen it lately where it is chaotic. You have players bailing out. And forget this year. This year was an outlier. But, the second, let's say you play for Maryland and you're not in the championship game in your league in the Big Ten and your top five pick, I mean, you're done. Do you really want to play in whatever bowl game there is, or do you want to start getting ready? And there's nothing, there's virtually nothing coaches can do anymore about that.
Right. I got you on that. I just figured, with the transfer portals and all that, and everybody just going everywhere that they can go, and then with the draft and everything, me personally, I would think that it would be something that they might want to keep to themselves until the season's over with, until the bowl games are over.
Yeah, I mean, Kevin, thank you for the call. Some really thoughtful questions. And I, every time we have this conversation, we get a call from a former player, and it doesn't matter when it was in the past, and they say, the bowl game was the most important thing to me, and I still cherish the picture on the wall and the bowl and the ball and the case, but it's different today. These guys are so, and you ask, why are they so fixated on the draft? Well, just put on the television right now, and for the last 3 months, every conversation begins with mock drafts. It's a cottage industry that reminds me a little bit of the way high school recruiting was. And high school recruiting is still big, but it's different now than it used to be, primarily because of that early recruiting cycle, which is now the most important recruiting cycle. It comes in December, and there's very little time to build up to it because of the season. Let's get to more calls. And Jeff is up next in Tennessee. Hello, Jeff. Thank you. Good afternoon.
Hey, I just want to ask you, Paul, to kind of handicap the SEC East in 2021. I'm a big Kentucky fan here in Tennessee, and I think it's going to go Georgia, Florida, 1-2. Either way, Tennessee, 3. Missouri, South Carolina, 4-5, and Kentucky, 6-7, because Stoops will never get the respect he deserves outside of the state of Kentucky until he goes to Atlanta or wins the SEC, because one guy in Alabama said hell will freeze over before Kentucky wins the SEC in football. Nobody ever gives the man respect, but I just want you to comment on that and see if you think Kentucky has a chance, and also the football group they're doing right now.
Well, Jeff, I do. I have great respect for Mark Stoops, and I understand he is somewhat of the Rodney Dangerfield of SEC coaches, but it's a good thing to be, because he's really a good coach. He's got a superb program that he's developed up there, painstakingly, I might add. And I think the SEC media may surprise you when they all gather in Hoover in a couple of months, 2 months from now. Let's get some more calls in here. And where are we here? How about Sam, who is up next? Hey, Sam, you are on the air. Good afternoon.
This podcast is proud to be supported by Jet's Pizza, the number one pick in Detroit-style pizza. Why? It's simple. Jet's is better. With the thickest, crispiest, cheesiest Detroit-style pizza in the country, there's no competition. Right now, get $5 off any 8-corner pizza with code 8SAVE. That's the number 8, S-A-V-E. Go to jetspizza.com to learn more and find a location near you. Again, try Jet's signature 8-corner pizza and get $5 off with code 8SAVE. That's the number 8, S-A-V-E. Jet's Pizza. Better because it has to be. 10 seconds on the clock. How many things can you name that are always growing? Your relationships. Your skills. Your customer base. How about businesses on Shopify? Shopify is the global commerce platform that helps you sell at every stage of your business. From the launch your online shop stage, to the first real-life store stage, all the way to the did we just hit a million orders stage. Shopify's there to help you grow. Sign up for a $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/network, all lowercase. Go to shopify.com/network now to grow your business, no matter what stage you're in. Shopify.com/network.
Hello?
Yeah, Sam, you're on the air.
What are your thoughts on Auburn football this year? I know we got the new head coach, and it's kind of a tough schedule. But I was just wondering, I'm looking at, you know, LSU, Georgia, A&M, Alabama, and Penn State. What are your thoughts on Auburn's record this year?
Sam, I am upbeat on Coach Harsin and where he's going. I'm not particularly high on a big time record. I think 8-4 would be the ceiling. And I always hate it when you get an either or, but I think it's somewhere between 7-5 and 8-4. The tough games are obvious. At Penn State, third game of the year. At LSU, fifth game of the year. Georgia, sixth game of the year. I mean, right then. I mean, you better not lose. You can't afford to lose all those games, and you need to be a contender. You have to win a couple of them, and then you're at Arkansas. That's another danger. At A&M, I think the schedule is simply too hard.
Okay, thanks, Paul.
Thank you. I think if you had to, you know, put up a headline in December, it would be Auburn shows promise but still ends 7-5/8-4. We're heading to the break. We appreciate you being here. Much more to come on our program. We're only halfway in, and we have a lot of time to talk to you.
You're listening to the Paul Feinbaum Show podcast.
And on a Tuesday afternoon, who better to welcome us to happy hour than Augie in New Orleans?
Paul, let me tell you, happy hour is getting a lot happier. More people in the streets. Bars are getting a little more crowded, so I think people are going to be packed in the Tiger Stadium this fall.
No, I agree. I had to go out and do something earlier, and I went into a restaurant to pick up something, and had to go to the bar, and it was 11:30, and people were already there.
Well, you know, it depends on where you are and what part of town, but in some parts of the city, the bars should be empty, but they never are. You know how that is. You kind of blend one day into the other sometimes when you go into the quarter. You don't know when today's ended and tomorrow started, but those days are over for me. I just want to say, Paul, before we get started, happy birthday to Larry in Missouri. He's joining the Octogenarian Club.
I did not realize this was Larry's birthday, because Larry is someone I have great respect for. I think he's complimented this show once in the last 10 years, but that does not mean we don't like him.
Well, let me say that whether it is or isn't Larry's birthday, I'm welcoming him to the Octogenarian Club.
As we mentioned earlier, Steve Spurrier's 76th birthday. Now, it doesn't matter. Oh. I mean, if you want to feel your age, think of the fact that he won the Heisman, in 66? And he's now 76.
Wow.
Sounds like some lyrics to an old rock song, doesn't it?
I can barely remember that, but no, I can remember it. Speaking of rock stars and rock songs, have you heard from Jeff in Columbus lately?
Not since the unfortunate tete-a-tete from about 2 weeks ago.
Oh, I missed that.
Oh.
Unfortunately, I've actually have to have a pretty big docket going here, so I've kind of lost track of what's going on.
Yeah, I'll sum it up for those of you who are away watching Ted Lass. He called up and just like, you know, just walked into the bar, taking names, and was very upset that his close friend, the former guy, had not been back on the show. And then he, you know, he started complaining about the price of lumber because of the Suez Canal issue. And then he proceeded to tell me how he warned me a year ago while I was in a COVID shelter, because I had to be, because that was what the law of the land of my where I lived was, why I was wrong about that. And then I just finally had enough, Augie, and started asking him why we haven't heard from him since his team was eviscerated by 28 points, and then it got bloody.
Oh, wow. I'm sorry I missed that. Well, at least we know Jeff's out there. And it was also good to hear from Matt. And, Paul, you gotta meet Matt if at all possible. You just got to take a picture with him and put it up on
the
screen.
Yeah, I don't know where I'll be tomorrow, let alone this fall. So I will, if I have to, I'll get on a Greyhound bus and drive out to see Matt, and we will go to a game together. How about that?
It's like Midnight Cowboy and John Voight in the back of the bus, right?
Exactly. When was the last time you were on? What was the last time you were on a Greyhound bus? Do you remember?
Geez, I think it was 1976 when my father put me on a bus to visit my cousin to go to actually a college football game in Hattiesburg, Mississippi.
Mine was about 2 years. Mine was 2 years later, but I distinctly remember it.
Wow. You know, I didn't even know Greyhound still existed until I passed one on the interstate. And I'm like, is that a movie prop or something? And my wife said, no, it still exists. I didn't even know they were still in business. I guess they and Amtrak surprised me. But Paul, you were talking about Joe Namath earlier, and you had a little segment on Joe and Mac Jones. And Joe was talking about how Mac will be rated higher than Tom Brady. But remember, Jamarcus Russell was the number one overall draft pick back in, what was that, 2008 or something, seven, something like that?
I believe it was seven. Yeah, that would have been about right.
And look where he is today.
In the pantheon of drug busts, well, that's not really draft busts, excuse me. Would he be number one?
He's got to be. Everybody talks about Ryan Leaf and this, but Jamarcus was number one overall. Ryan Leaf wasn't number one.
He was number two.
Okay, so there. By one, Jamarcus beats him. And, I mean, I could have told the Oakland Raiders then they were making a mistake, but they were fixated on that Sugar Bowl game where he just blew up Notre Dame by just throwing bombs, and he had great receivers to run under him. It's not like he was a great passer.
Hey, by the way, I'm trying to remember. Was that Lane Kiffin who drafted him at Oakland? I cannot remember.
I don't remember. I don't remember that. But whoever did, if it was Lane Kiffin, next time you have Lane on the show, you've got to give him some stick about that, because that was a terrible draft pick. And anybody in Baton Rouge could have told you that was a big mistake. But speaking of Baton Rouge, great interview with Brooks Cabina. I caught it yesterday. And I got to say, Paul, Brooks and Angela are doing a great
fantastic
job. And I know they're two of your favorites.
Hate to run. We are out of time. Thank you for the call.